How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
And I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned. What's up, guys?
Hey.
How's it going? Was that you trying to be me? Is that what I sound like?
Sup. I got Cannon today to say holler.
Oh, that's
holla.
Pretty good.
He goes, holla. I go, holla. He goes, holla.
Oh, that's amazing.
Anyway, it's really cute.
That's amazing. Catch everyone up on your day. How are you doing? How's life?
I'm good. Today was a good day. I'm pretty tired, though. I'm already in my PJs. Hence why I love podcasts.
Yeah, guys, if you ever want to just visualize us while you're listening to the podcast, it usually is us after the kids go down. Mm-hmm. Get a nice dessert or a nice treat or a nice little drink.
We don't have it right now.
No, but you usually almost 90% of the time do that.
I know, but I was trying to be good for you tonight and not eat until after.
Yeah, I know.
Because usually
that.
I eat and he gets...
Annoyed's too strong, frustrated's
yeah,
too strong.
It's just like he doesn't want me smacking in the...
Exactly. You'll be eating your little dessert while we're podcasting. And I bet we just lost a bunch of listeners because they heard me smack and they're like, I'm gone.
Sorry.
Anyways,
tell me about your day. You've been thinking a lot lately.
That's true.
You've been in your head. Lots has been happening. You've been reading a lot.
That's true, but I'm saving that for another time.
Okay. Sorry.
No. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about...
anything that you want to share.
Yeah. Well,
you don't have to give it all away.
What was the book called? Soul of Shame? Or the Soul...
Did you finish it?
Yeah. I think that's what it's called. But
saw Sarah Haggerty... Just read it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But before we talk about that, did you see the Bachelor finale last night?
No, but I was watching.
Me neither, but I know what happened because I.
Okay, well, my friend Maddie Gresham, who if you want to find someone funny to follow on Instagram, she's hilarious.
M A T T I G R E S H
A M.
Yeah.
Anyway, she was like doing a play by play, and now I feel like
hers was actually pretty funny.
I feel like I need to go back and watch it.
Yeah. So I'm.
I don't think we should give it away though, in case listeners haven't.
Oh.
Well,
no.
I'm sure. I don't know.
Yeah. Wednesday? Well, it's past due. We're giving it away.
So what happened? He proposed to someone.
Well, I was going
to
tell you because I probably know a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because did you read Spoiler Steve?
No, not Spoiler Steve. Like, so first of all, guys, neither of us watched Alyssa used to watch the show, but we don't really watch it much anymore.
We don't watch it this
season. But because this last one was such a cultural moment, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about since this podcast is called Love That Lasts and something very interesting happened. If you don't watch the show, basically how this season ended is The Bachelor, which I think his name is Ari this year.
Yeah, Ari.
It came down to two girls. I think their name were Lauren. Two girls. I think their names were Lauren and Becca. And he picked Becca. And
like
proposed to
night.
Her
okay.
At the end, like at the sunset, the beach proposal, whatever they usually do. And that was that. And they were engaged
and
it ended.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Then if you know the context of The Bachelor show, that usually happens about 4 to 6 months before like we actually get to watch that. He proposed to her 6 months ago, even though we watched it last night. Yeah. And so normally what happens then is in that span before they don't want them to be seen around in public and spoil the fact that like we know who he picked, so they kind of have them hide out and they basically have these like little like safe houses where they can meet up and have dates and talk and hang out and Netflix and all that stuff like every once in a while in secret, and the producers will set it up
and they have like fake names and fake, I don't know if they have fake IDs, but they have fake names, don't they?
Fake IDs would be going like super Jason Bourne status, but yeah, no.
I remember Sean said something like that.
I'm sure they do in some sense. So it's really secretive and all that. But here's, I don't know if you knew this, but here's what happened. So that was that. He was engaged. In one of those hangouts, he had already informed, I think he had to do this contractually, even though maybe not, because I think there's been breakups in the past before. And they obviously weren't on camera. So I don't know why he chose to do this. And I feel like this was kind of the more disrespectful and inappropriate part, but basically he brought the crew with, he told Chris and the crew like, hey, I'm gonna break off the engagement, like you guys come with. And so it was just super awkward because basically like to one of those safe house hangouts.
So was she not expecting it at
she
all?
Was expecting for one of those really special, because they're such special hangouts of like they only see each other every 2 weeks, so they plan like all these things and hang out, so she's expecting that, like,
but she didn't know that all the crew was coming.
I don't think so, or maybe she did, But, or no, maybe she wasn't be surprised by the cameras at first because it's part of the show, but because I think they were getting B-roll of just their relationship. But yeah, I mean, there's never been cameras in that context. So basically he broke up with her like 5 weeks after he proposed to her in front of the cameras and blindsided her. She thought it was one of those like date weekends. No. Yeah, it was crazy. And then he just basically, the thing that stuck out to me is I watched like a little video and he basically was like, I just tried to make it work or all that stuff, but I have to go follow my heart. And I hate that phrase.
Okay, wait, before we get into the, you know,
yes.
the meat. So then tell me what happened.
So then she just got really mad and swore him off and stuff like that. And he was being weird and like not leaving. He was almost doing that weird insecure thing where he was waiting for her to like validate him and saying the breakup.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's in, and she was like not having it. She was like, just leave. Like camera, like you guys get out, bye.
Yeah.
And then he basically said, I got to go make it. And the reason he did it, he's like, the reason he said he broke up with her is like, I need to go try to make it work with Lauren. Like I like her more. And I just realized that and I couldn't stop thinking about her. So I'm going to go try to make it work with her.
And he told her that?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
I don't know. I think she was just like, I hope you're happy or whatever. And then tonight was the actual live scenario. So I don't know if he actually did talk to her or whatever, but.
Do we know what happened then?
Well, yeah. So I think he went back and Lauren and him kind of started dating and all stuff. But then tonight on the live after the final rose, which is actually current time, tonight.
What do you mean last night?
No, no, it was tonight.
On Tuesday?
Yeah, because they do it two nights in a row. Oh. He proposed to her.
On the live thing?
Yeah, the Lauren girl tonight.
And did she say yes?
Yeah. But it was just awkward, man. Everyone was like, no, we're not about this. Not on the live thing. Well, and then just like that, how he said no to Becca and all that stuff.
But remember
Yeah, Molly and Jason.
Molly and Jason. Mm-hmm. Did he proposed to Melissa, right? And then he...
Yeah, but I feel like at least... Didn't he do that one off camera at least? Or no, he did that
he did it on the live
night. You're right.
And now they're happily married. And Melissa did, then she went on to do Dancing with the Stars and got happily married, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So guys, Bachelor fans out there, you know what we're talking about.
Tell us how you feel.
I need
to go back and watch and see it.
I go back and forth on this one though, because it's like, of course you shouldn't marry someone and propose to someone that you don't think, like at the end of the day, if you really think this is not the person you should be marrying, then yeah, even if it's going to be painful or awkward or weird, you got to call it off. But it's like, maybe don't invite the
cameras. How he did it?
Yeah, it's like, maybe don't invite the cameras. Maybe don't propose in the first place. Like, I feel like he just got caught up in the, I have to do these things rather than like, I think it should be okay for someone to get to the end of the Bachelor thing and be like, I don't like either enough to propose yet. Like, that's it. It's kind of anticlimactic, but that's like, if that's what he feels, that's how he feels. So, yeah, so I feel like that's the way. But I also like, what I'm saying is like, you shouldn't marry someone if you don't want to marry them. But at the same time, like when you're saying quotes like, oh, I got to follow my heart. I'm like, that's just like.
Yeah, but that's what the culture says.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, what if your heart a year from now.
Misleading.
Yeah. What if your heart a year from now says to go back to Becca? Well, then you got to follow your heart, bro. You know what I mean? You're married to Lauren, but you got to follow your heart, bro. It's like, no, that's terrible. Do you know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. However, I can see being on the show. This is why the show is tricky. I can see being on the show. One, it would be so easy to get caught up because it's all you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of pressure. And I'm sure that he genuinely did love both of them. That's the thing. Like, if you're actually dating more than one woman, like the whole
Ben thing,
like it's legit to love more than two people. And then especially if you're having sex with them, like that gets confusing.
Yeah.
And so I can get that. I just think maybe... I totally wouldn't have invited all the camera crew unless if that's part of the contract, but he was like, I can't wait till the live. I just need to do it as soon as possible, which in that case, I give him some props that he didn't just like string her along.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed like, I think he needs to read Love That Lasts. That's what he needs to do. He needs to get a whole new view and vision.
But that's very like normal in our culture.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
note to self, guys, just don't follow the heart. That doesn't lead to good things. Let the heart, I'm about to preach, okay? Don't follow your heart, lead your heart. There's a difference, right? Like lead in faithfulness and obedience and what you think is the right thing. And what's funny about that is your heart almost always follows. There might be a leg where for like 5 minutes or 2 days, you're like, oh, I don't really want to do this, but you keep doing it. And all of a sudden it becomes true and you start getting life from it. So of course that's not super applicable in every scenario, you know, in like bad situations, but in general, if you're doing the right thing, your heart will catch up rather than try to chase your heart. You know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I just also remember the dating phase and how confusing it can be.
What do you mean?
Just like, I remember feeling like, oh, just being confused, or is this the person I should marry? Having doubts, not with you, but with other people. And it's just, it can be very confusing, back and forth, or not sure. And I feel like if you don't know the Lord, that would be really hard.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I was just all the time just asking the Lord for wisdom and mentors, saying, hey, what do you think about this? But at the end of the day, it really comes down to your decision. And so I feel like if you don't know the Lord, it can be really hard. And I could see where people would want to follow their heart, because that's all that they have to go on, you know?
Yeah.
I totally agree with your emotions and not letting them lead your life. And love but is I also a commitment. But I think in the dating, it can just be really confusing.
Totally. And I will say, I actually think it's both. Like, I think some Christians go too far on that of like, emotions are bad. Don't ever listen to them. They're not whatever. I'm like, no. I don't think they're in the driver's seat.
Right.
I don't think emotions are in the driver's seat. I think they're in the passenger seat, but they're in the car.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of sometimes Christians are the opposite, when they want to take the emotions and like, you know, like chuck them behind the car and just like say bye, throw them out the window.
Because emotions tell you something. They're supposed
emotions
to
are good
you.
Signals. They're good triggers. They're mm-hmm. good things that can be helpful in regards to why you're feeling something, what you're feeling. Like, dig into them and ask questions to your emotions. But don't let them dictate you. Don't let them, dominate you and kind of be in the driver's seat, their passenger seat, right? They got the aux cord, but they ain't driving. You feel me? Think, that's like, you need to get that meme? Okay.
No, not at all.
It's like
but,
when you get, okay, yeah, when you get, yeah, aux, it just means they're like in control of the playlist because they got the aux cord. Okay.
Oh, I get it. AUX, not OX.
No. It's like when you give someone the aux cord, that's like giving them.
Auxiliary cord.
Yeah, but. I just sometimes forget that you're not all up in that meme life. You ain't in that meme life. Like, given some, that aux cord's all. Like,
okay, here, I'm thinking more about the Ari thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the term that we use in this culture, I have to follow my heart, is just a really lame
excuse.
Like, really, he should have said,
mm-hmm.
I love you, but I realize I don't want to spend the rest of my life with you, and I want to choose so-and-so to spend the rest of my life with, which is really harsh. But he's making a decision.
That's a good point. Yeah,
right?
We sometimes
it's not
hide
like,
behind
oh, I'm gonna
it.
Follow my
yeah,
heart.
We sometimes
that's
hide
so wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
No, I agree. I agree. Sometimes we hide behind it. I think the Christian version of follow your heart is God told me. Yeah, like, oh, God told me to break up with you, or God told me that, you know, we're not good for each other. It's like, hold on. I talked to God. Hold on. I didn't hear that.
I didn't get that same memo.
Yeah, exactly. Does he have like a direct line? Are you going like, you know, like, am I on Sprint and you're on Verizon? Verizon has better service. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it's just a lame excuse of a term.
And I would encourage people, I mean, I know we have a lot of listeners that aren't in relation, even though our podcast is called Love That Lasts, we all talk about a lot of stuff that's not relationship oriented. So single people, people that aren't in relationships, anyone, any age, I think this applies outside of relationships, with your vocation, with your job, with academics, with platonic relationships, in regards to like the same thing with following your heart, rather than living in the lane of what's right, what's true, what's full of integrity, what's on the path towards Jesus. And then your heart will catch up, but also still listen to it, listen to the emotions of what it's telling you and stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
How's your,
let's talk about you.
No, I want to talk about your painting journey, because
no, we don't need to talk about
babe,
that.
Babe, that podcast blew up. Everyone was hitting us.
We talked
us.
About it all last podcast.
I know. And everyone was hitting us with saying how amazing it was and how encouraged they were.
People
so
want to know what's happening in Jeff Bethke's
There's
life.
Nothing happening in my life, but catch us up on what in a week's time, what have you already learned? I feel like that you had a couple harder paints, stuff like that. So talk about that in context of last week.
Okay. Well, I'll just update everybody. So I painted like 4 paintings last week. I haven't painted yet this week, so I'm trying to just kind of not put pressure on myself and really kind of see like, okay, tonight or today, do I need something, you know, like sleep, or is it more important to be with my family or something like that? So I'm just trying to really learn the balance of when to paint and when not to. And last week though was good. I really enjoyed all my painting time. The last one I did, I I feel very like, oh, I didn't like that at all.
I like that one a lot.
It's so funny. I don't like it at all.
The beach one?
Yeah. And I was so tired. I was like, I just don't think nighttime painting is for me. But
see, that was a good little learning thing. Because you realize even just little things of like, you know, where you paint has so much daylight that gives you kind of just an airiness and joy. So like, take advantage of that during the day. You're not as tired. There's a lot of things.
The one thing that was really cool about that was even though I was really tired, and I almost gave up halfway through, I was like, you know, I'm just going to push through it anyway. And I was proud of myself for just, because in the middle of it, I was like, I don't know if this is going to look good and I'm tired. But I pushed through, so I felt good about that. And then the painting I did before about the leaf, the Monstera leaf, if you saw that. It was so funny because it really was the hardest painting I did. I really struggled with it. It wasn't what I envisioned at all. And I felt like my colors were just a lot harsher than it was in my head. But it was funny because that day I was having a really hard day and was just really down and struggling inner. I don't know if you guys ever have these like inner battles with yourself. Like, I don't even remember exactly what it was. I just felt like my body was fighting against itself and I was frustrated at things and I don't know, sad and emotional, and I didn't know what was going on. And anyway, that's very vulnerable. Let's just get really vulnerable. But
no, I love that.
Jeff gave me the morning to paint because he's like, you just need to have a little break. And I really struggled through it. But it was funny because then at the end of it, I almost felt like the painting reflected that. Like it reflected that it really took a lot of layers, and I used some like red and yellow, like more angry colors than I would have normally done. I don't know what that, I hope this is making sense. But anyway, at the end of it, though, I was like
some angstiness with
some angst within it. But at the end of it, it was actually the painting that I'm most proud of. I think it's the best painting I've done. And so it was just like an interesting lesson to me to be okay with the process. Yeah. Like, I don't have to always, it may not always be a super calm thing. Sometimes what we do is like we have to just work it out, you know? Like sometimes in my day I have to just work it out, whether it's something going on in my heart.
That's a really good point.
A truth I need to believe, or I don't know, whatever is going on. Sometimes it's not every day is just like full of peace and calm, and I think that comes after it. And so I think it just kind of reflected part of the process, and sometimes it's just creativity can sometimes just be a real struggle. I remember writing our book and there was one of the chapters, the singleness chapter, was literally the hardest thing I'd ever written, and I really struggled with it, and I went back and forth with our editor and Jeff helped me, and then it was seemed to be like the most powerful.
Yeah, everyone constantly says that's the one that stands out, that's what they tweet,
which is crazy. And so I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe you can shed some light on that, babe, but I think just maybe when we're most out of our comfort zone, the Lord kind of just like does his work. And then at the end of it, you can stand back and be like, wow, that was actually really amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I struggled through it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think anything in life that takes perspiration is going to be a more beautiful, solid work of art or just peace in society. I don't think usual, like you can take the easy examples of actual art, like real statues, real paintings. But I think that can just be a metaphor for all of life. Like, you know, the masterpieces don't come easy. And those are usually like toil.
Well, even just like The Greatest Showman or.
Totally. Yeah. That took 7 years to make. Hamilton. Yeah. 7 years to make on that too. And yeah, it takes the things that usually bring a lot of, there is 100% a correlation with usually things that take you out of your comfort zone or just a little bit over that edge of like stretching you in regards to your skills, just right at the edge of your capacity.
Yes, yeah.
I think that's where it's a lot of growth happens. And you can use the weightlifting metaphor too of like, you know, the only way you get bigger and bigger muscles is if you work out to the point of actually destroying your muscles.
Yeah.
Like you have to work just to your capacity. Mm-hmm. You have to bench press just to the level of how much you can bench press routinely or rhythmically so that then those muscles break down, like break and get destroyed and then rebuild stronger. So I think it's a very similar picture with vocation, with your job, with your art, with your hobby, with your giftings. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's a really, really good example.
Yeah.
That I have.
Anyway. So yeah, I'm learning a lot and I've been posting on Instagram if you've been following it. And I feel like I just need to say the only reason why I'm posting on Instagram is because I feel like the Lord is teaching me to just stay open and be vulnerable. And so I'm posting it just to show people that like it doesn't have to be perfect and it really is about the process. Because when I post the paintings, I'm like, oh, there's so many things wrong with it, which I'm not downing myself. I'm just like being, what do you call that? Objective about it. But I really do feel like the Lord is telling me just like be open and be okay with the process and be okay with it not being perfect or having not arrived yet, and showing people the journey I'm on. And hopefully it's an encouragement to anyone that has watched to pursue whatever you've been wanting to learn and to be okay in the beginning process and to be okay with the journey and find something that you're excited about and that gives you life. And it's just something that is like your thing, you know. And of course there's tons of people that do that one thing, but nobody else does it like you. And I was just reading Galatians today in chapter 6, and in the Message, I love the Message version. Yeah. And it talks about how to like live a creative life, to pursue what you're good at, and to sink yourself into it. And
oh, that's a good wording. I like that.
Compare yourself, and also don't like think that you're awesome, but just kind of like do the work that God has made you to do and just sink yourself into it. And I think that's so encouraging. I was thinking of that as a mom today. Like, I know the Lord has called me to be a mom and I want to be intentional. And so I just want to sink myself into that. And I don't want to live it like, oh, I wish I was in a different season, or really fighting every day, feeling like, oh, I should be doing this, but I need to do this. But just like really enjoying this season. And I think whatever creative thing that you enjoy doing, to just like sink yourself into it and don't worry about who's better than you or.
That's so good.
You know, but I like just that
phrasing.
Like,
yeah. Sink yourself into it. Like dig
you,
in.
Yeah. And when you do something amazing, don't think that you're number one, but just like give the Lord so much praise and thanks for how he let you create, and that we're image bearers of him and he's the ultimate creator and we get to create too. And it's for his glory, and like it encourages other people, and you get an opportunity to bring beauty into the world. And, you know, so what way can you bring beauty into the world? I think that's kind of the main thing.
Yeah.
And it looks different with a lot of people and whatever giftings and passions you have.
I like that. That's good. Alyssa's giving me the eyebrows like she wants me to start talking. I do want to talk about the Soul of Shame book. But before I do that, guys, I want to share a quick info on a sponsor of ours this week. And this is Easy Kicks. Now, it's actually really awesome and it sounds exactly what it is. And it's
shoes?
Yeah, it's kicks given to you easily. It's actually a sneaker club for kids that allows parents like us to order really cool shoes like Nikes and Converses online whenever they need, but super cheap, sometimes starting at just $20 a month, which is really cheap if you know shoes. And so, yeah, they're delivered right to your house in a box that's personalized for your child, along with fun stickers and other club features for the members. And they can wear their shoes as long as they want. And when they're wrecked or too small or they just want a new style, you place your new order and then you send the old pair back in the prepaid shipping envelope. And they are donated to Easy Kicks nonprofit partner. So it's a really cool way to be sustainable with shoes, especially with little kids, which, you know, outgrow every 5 minutes. And so they ensure that you have kids that are always fit. Kicks that are always fitting your kids, and they're delivered right to your door. And I know I like that just because I don't like going to the mall for shoes ever. So yeah, if you have kids, check them out, easykicks.com. And it's a pretty easy sign up process. You go to easykicks.com, sign up, you just add a name, a date of birth, and a shoe size for the child. And then you click account and add another membership to add second children or third child. And then you get to just browse shoes, find shoes, select the shoes you want, enter all your info. But here's the special part for you guys. We want to give you a 10% off code. So use the discount code EZMARCH. So the letter E, the letter Z, and then the month March at checkout to receive 10% off on all your orders for the month. And their customer service team will actually cancel the account prior to 30 days billing if you don't like it and don't want it. And you can keep the shoes in the order that you get them. And if you need a new pair or a different size, you can place the order on the site or contact them at customer service at easykicks.com. So guys, easykicks.com, use the code EZMARCH. You'll get hooked up with 10% off. And yeah, they're really awesome. So go ahead and check them out. Now I want to finish by talking about the Soul of Shame book. I think it's by Kurt Thompson. Really phenomenal book, guys. I feel like we're always going to try to at least bring you guys one good read every podcast. And this one is really, really good. And the reason I love this one is it's almost like Brené Brown, but it's a little bit more like Jesus-centered. But he's just as much of an expert, just as clinical. I think Brené Brown has such a good ability to be incredibly smart and an expert in her field. I mean, she has a PhD, I think, and all that stuff, but yet incredibly mainstream in her tone and her conversational past, like, shepherderness. Mm-hmm. And that's what this guy does really well, is I feel like it's that exact same thing of, like, it's such high level scholarship, but brought down to, like, a personal one-to-one counseling feel. Oh, it's so good. So, and I feel like what it reminded me of with that you talk about, since we heard Willie and Corey talk about it, is he has this, the whole second half is kind of about, or towards the second half, is all about killing the cycle of shame by telling yourself better stories. Because he kind of goes into the actual clinical research that shows shame is very cyclical. Like, it's very much, and this is Satan's trick, but also our chemistry is able to be allured by that, and that it gets very much weeded and not weeded. What's the word? Like, he can dangle us along usually in our own chemistry in some sense to very much just go down the cycle of shame. And it happens fast, where it usually is like a small thing that then you just start saying really, really big things of, like, oh, I'm not loved, or oh, I'm not liked, or oh, I don't belong here, or oh, they don't want to know the real me. Like, you just, it's funny how small it can be that triggers it, but then you go in this cycle of it just getting, like, really deep and dark and isolated in your self thoughts. And so he just talks about how you have to have this cycle of, like, a better story, where you almost combat it with the same rhythm of, like, the stairs upwards instead of the stairs downwards, but with telling yourself a better story. So, yeah, I just thought it was really, really good. And
it's so good.
Yeah, you should read it.
Oh, I'm going to. Tomorrow.
Do it. Oh, yeah. Tell people what we're doing tomorrow.
So tomorrow, Jeff and I I'm stealing him away, and we're going on a day date. And there's a spa up in Kapalua. So if you ever come to Maui, check out the Montage Spa. They're actually, well, it's actually like the most expensive spa, but you can use their facilities. And if you live here, they give a really good discount. And so there's like a pool and a hot tub and saunas. And so we're going to just do that all day. So it's like my dream date, really, which maybe is selfish, but we're going to do that all day, read and talk and process and have good food. And then we're going to go to this restaurant that I've always wanted to go to. That's on the beach right there for dinner. So
we're still gonna try to go. You know, can get a resi?
Yeah, well, I was thinking we could sit in the bar.
Oh yeah, you're right. They did say we could do that. You're right, without the resi. The resi. The resi. What are we gonna do at the pool place?
I already said.
Why no? But like, more, are you gonna be dreaming and scheming and thinking about the? No, I'm just gonna rest.
To, like, rest. Like, I need a good beach book. So maybe The Soul of Shame is not my book for tomorrow, but I need a good beach book, and then I just want to, like, float.
Like, literally or metaphorically? Both.
Literally. I just want to float in the ocean.
I thought you meant you want your mental state to just float.
No, no, no. I want to be all there, but I really just want to, like, have a day away from the kids and just be.
Yeah, parents out there, I'm a firm believer of you can be the best parent for your kids when you are not orbiting your entire life around the kids. Now, I don't mean that in the sense of, like, you know, work away from them for 12 hours a day every single day and never see them. I mean, in fact, we try to do the exact opposite of try to be as most present. But you do have to have a rhythm of isolation is the wrong word, because I mean, just like, because it's not isolated, but when it's between two.
Well, I think you just need to keep your marriage really strong.
And yeah, your marriage is
security to your kids.
That's a better way to put it. Your marriage is central. Your marriage is actually the central strength giver to the kids.
Yes.
So what can happen
mommy and daddy are doing really well. The kids are flourishing.
Yeah, feeling very secure and stable and anchored. Yeah. But what can happen is just simply because of practical needs that, like, 4-year-olds are way more needy than a 30-year-old, hopefully.
Not always true.
you start focusing on the kids' needs at the expense of the marriages, not because it's a way different competition. It's not like they're similar needs. It's very, you know, older adults are more emotional, deeper depth, vulnerability, intimacy, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And kids are like every 5 minutes, like, you got to go poop. You need to eat or else you're going to die. Well, you know, you need to shower. Like, so
a mom or a dad, you just need time away to like fill up so that you can be the best mom and dad that you can be.
Totally.
And I think for moms, it's really easy and natural to just pour into your kids and, you know, provide all their needs and be there for them. And sometimes it takes a lot more work to be for your husband and to be present with your husband and to serve them and spend that time with them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like a natural thing. But,
I think
but
it's
marriage really does need to come first.
Yeah, I think it's self-care mixed with like the marriage care. And if you can kind of take care of yourself in a rhythmic way of always kind of filling and understanding what fills yourself, fills with you, what fills your marriage, then you can really in a rhythmic way bless the kids and bless the family. So
yeah, I love that. And it just is like, you know, I think it's really healthy to have a not have a child-centered home, but have a marriage-centered home. And
yeah, because here's the thing, guys. Hopefully the marriage never leaves the home, but your kids better. Right? Like one leaves, one doesn't.
Oh, babe.
So don't center it around the one that leaves.
When you do have a child-centered home, it puts pressure on the kids too, and like they're not meant to bear that. And
preach. Keep going.
Well, no. I'll stop there. But anyway, it's just really good.
Just a little nug.
It's really good to have moments with your husband, whether it's date nights at home after the kids go to bed or walks or real date, you know, like you go out for date nights or getaways once a year or once every 6 months, whether it's an overnight or just a day trip, just to like connect and get that time. So I'm a firm believer.
You are.
Yeah,
you are. So I'm excited for tomorrow. Guys, she's Jack Pearsoning me. If you watch the show, it's when Jack Pearson does all these things and then Mandy Moore wants to do a whole big day for him. I'm stoked. She planned it all.
Except
it was a surprise.
I thought of you.
No, I'm excited.
You're excited, right?
I'm just as excited as you. It's a day that you very much like too, but I don't think that's wrong that we like the same day. So you don't
Jeff
feel bad about
like
that.
I like it too.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
We're going to have a really good meal, which is all about.
As long as it involves sitting there doing nothing, reading a good book, and eating a lot of food, I can't think of a better day in my life.
And this spa has like a room upstairs that you can look out that has air conditioning and snacks. So Jeff will probably be there.
AC and snacks is my love language.
Be able to get out.
Because if it was only one of those, that wouldn't be good, right? Because I'm not trying to be sweaty with snacks, and I'm not trying to be air conditioned with no food. So it's like the fact that you can put those two together, air conditioning with food.
But granted, it's spa food.
Yeah, just like a little poop, like a little trail mix, and but you know what? I'm gonna take that bowl and I'm gonna dump it in my mouth, and it's gonna be good.
Okay, but if anyone does come to Maui to visit and you go to the Montage Spa. Which really is so expensive.
Yeah, it's one of the only resort. Well, it's not that expensive. Well, it's expensive to stay there. No, it's expensive to stay there.
No, but their spa's a lot more than the other spas.
Oh, but they're one of the only ones that... without spa treatment. Yeah, yeah.
I meant the spa treatment.
Yeah, she's talking about like if you get a massage there, it's really expensive. We never have, so we don't know. What she's saying is this is one of the only ones you can get a day pass to just hang out there without getting any treatment.
True. That gives a good discount if you live there. But if you do get a treatment there... I got a pedicure once because my amazing mother-in-law sent me a gift card.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And literally, I had the place to myself. It was so relaxing. And in between it, the lady came up with a cake stand and offered me little bonbons.
Oh.
I'm like, I'm living my best life.
Seriously.
Now.
Was Ricky Martin there?
Ricky Martin. Oh.
Do you get it?
Babe.
Do you get it?
Yes.
Check your bonbon. That you are living your best life, though. It's pretty amazing.
So...
You didn't get it until just right there.
Treat yourself. No, I did get it. I did get it.
Why'd you double laugh?
I had
laugh?
It playing in my head. All right.
All right, guys.
Speaking of which, can I go get a bonbon?
Yeah. All right, guys. Hey, we love you guys. Have a great day. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Be blessed to be a blessing. All right. Have a good day. Bye, guys.
Bye.